Hello and welcome to another lesson in the little book of 2 Peter. Remember, he said, if we do these things, we shall never fall. And he's talking about falling into the pit of apostasy. Now, in the world today, we have leaders and we have followers. And we're looking today at those who would lead us into apostasy. It says here, for they speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Now it says they speak and they allure. They allure through the lusts of the flesh. Now that word lust is not necessarily speaking about immoral things. It's been translated desires three times. And so these leaders of apostasy say, follow me, I'll give you the things that you desire. You know, we desire to get along with everybody. We desire everybody like us. Maybe as a pastor, we might desire that we could get a big auditorium and a big crowd of people so we look good in the eyes of our peers. Whatever it might be, he says here that they speak great swelling words of vanity, and with those words, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escaped from them who live in error, those that are escaped. Now, when it's talking about those that escaped, we have the word in 2 Peter 1 and 4, they escaped the corruption of the world. 2 and 18, they escaped from them who live in error. And then in 2 and 20, they escaped the pollutions of the world. It's not talking about getting saved here. It's talking about people, and there's a lot of people today who they escape the corruption, the systems of this world. When the Bible talks about the world, it's not talking about plants and trees and grass and oceans, mountains and stuff like that. It's talking about the system. And there's a certain amount of people today who would escape from the system of this world and live above the corruption. Then it talks about those who escape from the error, and that is from being in submission to going the wrong way. They're very religious, a lot of these people, very religious. Doesn't mean they're saved. They've escaped the pollution of the world, the sickness, the moral sickness of this world. They don't want to live there. They want to live above all of that. And so it says in verse 19, while they, that is the leaders of apostasy, promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Now, we're looking at leadership. Leadership. In the world today, we have godly leadership. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's good. That's a good plan. He said in Philippians 3, brethren, be ye followers of me. And so we have a leader here, and he has a Bible in his hand, and he's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And he also commended the Bereans, because when he did preach something, those Bereans went home and checked the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. You shouldn't listen to anything I say on this broadcast until you check it out with the scriptures. If we're going to check out Paul the Apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament under the inspiration of God, how much more should we check out everything we hear today? Be Berean. Well, then we have ungodly leadership. It says in 2 Peter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And so the difference with this man is he doesn't have a Bible in his hand. He's just going to lead you, and he'll lead you down the trail that will fulfill the desires of your flesh. So we have leaders and we have followers. Now, these ungodly leaders, it says, will be among the people, but what we really need to understand is there'll be false teachers among you, and we have them among us today. Some are teaching that you don't need to repent in order to be saved. That is a damnable heresy. That is a false teacher teaching that among us today. Now, it talks about the desires of the flesh. We need to understand what the scripture teaches about the two natures. When we get saved, we have an old nature and we have a new nature. That old nature, it can't do anything but sin. The new nature, it can't sin. Whichever nature we're going to feed, that's the one that's going to grow. And so in Galatians 5, we read, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And so we got this old nature that says, yeah, I want to go. Those who lead in that direction, they lure through the desires of the flesh. And so then we have those that would lead us through the direction of the Word. One lures through the desires, one leads through the Word. And so he said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, Romans 7, Paul said this. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's talking about that old nature. He says in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man," that's the new nature, "but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He went on to say, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that when with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but even though," he says, "with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, when it comes to the old nature, here's some food for thought. Question: when Peter took Jesus aside and told him not to go to Calvary, was he acting under the control of his old nature or under the new? Did he do this out of a love for the Lord? Don't want you to go to Calvary. Or was he concerned that he wasn't going to get one of those thrones that Jesus promised? How am I going to kick out the Romans and get a throne if you're going to die? Well, we do have the response of the Lord. He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Yeah, you want that materialistic stuff? If I don't die on the cross, Bob Kirkland can't get saved, neither can anybody else. So he said, "Get thee behind me." The word Satan here means adversary, and we call him Satan. He said, "Get behind me, adversary, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." So Peter's obviously operating under the power of the old nature. Question: when Peter walked on the water, did he do it at the direction of the Holy Spirit? Jesus' response to that was, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He didn't commend him for walking on the water. He did rebuke him, saying, "Where's your faith? Where did you doubt? Now, you know, I've often said that I think Jesus was out there walking on that water, and maybe Paul said, "I'd rather be out there with Jesus in that storm than in the safety of a boat without him." That might have been it. I don't know. But I do know we need to stop and think about things. Am I operating under the power of the old nature or under the new? When Peter drew his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, was he acting under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Check the response of Jesus, and you'll see that Peter was not. After following Jesus for over 3 years, when Peter denied knowing Jesus, was he acting under the influence of the old or the new nature? Well, that's very obvious. He denied. He cursed an oath and said, "I never knew the man." Keep in mind, "Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." That old nature is there. It was there. Peter had listened to the sermons of Jesus for over 3 years, saw the miracles, and yet that old nature springs up just when we're just not expecting him. Here's some thoughts. In John 21, when Peter said, "I go fishing," which of his two natures was in control then? Keep in mind, this is after Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He spent 40 days instructing these people as to what was going to happen. And they asked the question, are you going to kick out the Romans? Are you going to, are we, and Jesus said, that's not for you to know right now. What do you mean? I'm not getting my throne right now. I go fishing. And he takes all of the disciples with him, fished all night, caught nothing. And the great part of that story says Jesus stood on the shore. There's nothing we can do to stop Jesus from loving us. Jesus stood on shore all night, waiting for morning. And Peter, oh, there he goes now. He jumps right in the water when John said, it's the Lord. And Jesus had said, have you caught any fish? He said, no. And so John said, it's the Lord. What's Peter do? Very impulsive. Jumps in the water, heads for shore. He was a long way out there. Check it in John 21. See his story. Well, here's another question. In Acts chapter 10, when the Lord commanded Peter to arise and eat, and Peter answered, not so, Lord. Was he responding under the influence of the Holy Spirit? You don't say not so to the Lord under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 2, when Paul openly rebuked Peter for his compromise, and Peter was compromising, was Peter being directed by his old nature or his new? It's very obvious. Then here's a question. When Paul publicly rebuked Peter, was Paul being directed by the Holy Spirit or his old nature? He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking about the desires, the desires of the flesh. It was not Paul's desire to rebuke Peter in front of everyone. That was something he was going to do under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to be doing today when people come in with their damnable heresies in our fundamental churches and say you don't need to repent. They need to be publicly exposed. Well, this goes against the old nature. We want to get along with everybody. Well, of course we do. But we've got to decide whether we're going to preach the whole counsel of God, whether we're going to do what the Bible says, whether we're going to choose truth, or whether we're going to choose friends. So in this situation, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, 2 Corinthians starts out to the saints at Corinth. He's talking to Christians. But he says, you Christians, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you doing things the way we need to do them according to the word of God? Or are we acting under the power of the old nature? We're going to do it one way, or we're going to do it the other. Now, in conclusion, I want to look for just a moment here at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. To 22, we have the situation of eternal security here. It says, for if they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So when it talks about them, they have done this, and it happened unto them. Who is it talking about here? Well, first of all, whenever we study the scriptures, we need always to look at the context. Who is writing? Obviously, that is Peter. To whom is he writing? He's writing to the remnant that want to do right, want to do the right thing. What is the purpose of his writing? That we would never fall into the apostasy. And his plan is that we would beware and grow. His very last statement that are recorded are found here. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. How can we keep from falling? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, when it talks about knowledge in the Bible, it talks about vain knowledge. It's talking about thy wisdom and thy knowledge has perverted thee. It talks about an instructor who hath the form of knowledge. And it also talks about the fact that knowledge can puff up. And so when we're talking about knowledge of the Lord, it's not necessarily talking about someone who knows him or who knows the Lord as their personal Savior. So he says here, if they have escaped the pollutions of the world, and we've seen here the corruption of the world, they're going to live maybe very religious, but then they are entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Now, when it talks about being entangled therein, remember the story in Mark chapter 4, it says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sword of sow. And some fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." Now, as the sower went out to sow, everybody's responding here, and it gives some situations, and one of them is, well, the responders, they want to listen. Wow, this sounds good. I want to get out of the corruption of the world. But the thorns, I don't know how many times over the years I've talked to someone about trusting the Lord as their Savior, and they seem very, very interested, and then they go back and talk to their family, or they go back and talk to their friends, and those thorns grow up, and they choke the Word of God. And so the people decide, I'm not going to listen to the Word of God, I'm going to listen to my family, I'm going to listen to my friends. So we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God guiding us into all truth, and they reject it. That's a very serious thing. It says they turn their back on God. They turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, concerning the situation, in Matthew 11, it's Jesus said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethesda! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Now look what he says. "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." I've had the opportunity and even the privilege of being in the jungle in South America amongst the Yanomami Indians on two occasions. I sat there for a week. I lived in their mud huts with them, with one of our missionaries. And those Yanomami Indians, it'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment than it will be for somebody who lives in North America. Those Indians, they haven't turned their back on God. They don't even know about him. They don't know who he is. They don't know anything about him. Here in North America, minute after minute, every day of the year, you can hear how to be saved and have an opportunity to trust someone. And so it's talking about those that turn from the commandment delivered unto them. It'd be better if they hadn't heard it in the first place. Just the thing about the prodigal pig in 2 Peter chapter 2:22, God uses this example. He says, "But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to her own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." So we have the story in the Bible of the prodigal son. We have the prodigal pig. The prodigal son goes to the pig pen, and after a while he says, I don't have an appetite for this stuff, and he goes back. The prodigal pig does the same thing. He gets out of the pig pen, goes to church, said, I'll check things out over here. Oh, this looks pretty good. But it doesn't. He has an appetite, and his appetite is for that swamp back there. He wants the pollution and the muck and the mire. So he said, well, I guess I could go back. And so we read that the sow that was washed returns to her wallowing in the mire. By the way, God never calls his people dogs turning to vomit, and he never refers to them as sows. He's talking about the prodigal pig. Oh, I'll go and check things out here. But then they turn their back, and they go back to the ways of the world. Be sure to be with us for our next lesson in 2 Peter.